10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Still early, long ways to go. We hope to get you through the next 4 hours. We've got a lot of stuff to get into. Darren McFarland, that's me. Chase McCabe.
Hello.
That's him. Willie D is coming back with the team, so they will fly out of Vancouver. That is a long trek back home today. And then, of course, they'll have the day off, and then they'll get back out on the ice tomorrow, and then they have a Thursday night home tilt against the New York Islanders. Barry Trotz and company, after a good win by them in Washington last night, which, you know, was 2 points, but probably felt like 4 points for Barry Trotz, right? Just a little bit sweeter to go into Washington and win.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he felt that way the first couple times he came in here when he was with the Washington Capitals, and now – you know, he does that with Washington. So, look, that's cool. I mean, I think that that's part of his competitiveness, and good for them. It'll be good to see the Trotzinator, as some people refer to him. Maybe I'm the only one. But good to see him Thursday.
I don't think I've ever heard that. So
I've heard it from a couple of people.
Trotzinator, huh?
Always a good time. I mean, it's like seeing a family member whenever he comes to town, because he recognizes everybody and he says hi to everyone.
If you have a problem with Barry Trotz, it's actually...
That's a you problem.
It's a you problem. I've said that for a long time, and that's... I'll continue to say it. If you have a problem with Barry, that's a you problem. That's not a him problem. Predators end the road trip in Vancouver, the four-game Western Canada trip. Not exactly the way you want to end it. They lose 6-2 to the Canucks. So I will hand you some syrup and some butter and tell me how you feel today.
How I feel today?
Yeah.
Okay. As I said, I knew you were going to do this too, so I've been ready. I've been rehearsing all morning.
I know, good.
I have been rehearsing all morning.
Like I
what
said,
I said.
Here's your butter.
What
here's
I
your
said
syrup.
Yesterday, and if Elijah wants to pull the tape, he can. What I said yesterday was they are playing like a playoff team. What I saw, the handful of games that they played, they were playing like a playoff team. I said they're still, I got to see the inconsistencies go away. I need to see what they look like at home. And I said you have to end the road trip with a win. The only way to have a successful road trip is to get 2 points. So I did say all those things. I'm not backpedaling. I'm not backtracking, flip-flopping, however you want to put it. I'm not doing that.
Waffling.
But waffling, I never
hence
said.
The butter and the syrup.
I never said, I know, I'm ignoring it, that they were, in fact, a playoff team. Because a few weeks ago, I said they weren't. Mm-hmm. I just said they were playing
you were
like it.
Very adamant about it.
I know.
Very adamant.
I just said they were playing like it.
Very
I
outspoken.
Might have even said they are starting to play like it. Last night, though, that wasn't a playoff team. It was the inconsistent version of the Predators that we've seen all year.
Really? You think?
There's something I want to say right now, but I am not allowed by the
what?
FCC to say it on
today,
the air.
Today, you can say whatever you want.
No. The FCC still won't let me say it.
No?
But
I thought Tuesdays, they give Tuesdays off.
No. It's no? Something to the effect of no blank Sherlock.
Wouldn't that be great if they gave us the days off?
Oh, there's
like,
some
hey,
days I wish
Thursday
they would.
Thursday will be F-bomb day. It's okay.
That guy that did the interview in the XFL, he'd have a field day. Sheesh. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing today.
Well,
but look, they did. They laid an egg. They
you
laid
have
an
to admit, I followed up with you and said, are you sure? I mean, all of a sudden, you come out strong. Wait, are you sure?
I did. But the way I worded it, I thought was, okay, I'm giving props because they're playing better. You agreed with me. I even asked you. Do you agree that they are playing better and they're playing closer to a playoff team? And you said yes.
Look, you knew I was going to do this because last night when you texted me, I went, oh, boy.
Here we go.
And I said, still think they're back.
No, my oh.
Are you back to they're not a playoff team?
And I'll stand on
with
this
a,
one.
My with oh, a wink.
My oh, boy was directed to one person. My old boy, Pecorino, hadn't played in three games.
Yeah.
And he comes out and it wasn't good. Now the whole team, you can say that it was a team thing, and okay, you're right, but I needed more out of him too. So, and then they make the change and get a little spark, but it's the same guys providing that spark, yep. Mikhail Granlund and Craig Smith. And you know what? The question that I want to ask David Poile on Thursday when he comes on with us,
and let's say that he normally joins us today at 11:15. We just told you they're coming back. They'll be in the air all day today. He will join us at Pete and Terry's Tavern on Thursday at 11:15 because we'll be there doing the show in preparation for the game that night. So no David Poile tonight or today. He'll be on Thursday in his normal spot.
The question I want to ask him is when you look at the minutes by Matt Duchene, mm-hmm. Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, the guys that we've talked about a lot, Darren, that are the stars that you're paying a lot of money to, the superstars. Those are your stud guys. You saw their minutes last night. John Hines sent a message, and I'm glad he did.
Well, he has been very consistent.
He has.
So for people who didn't get a chance to watch,
and I had it pulled up and I closed it by accident,
or gave up or whatever you're saying, you don't know exactly what we're talking about. I put this stuff out there on Twitter and in post game last night. Matt Duchene took three shifts in the second period. Three. He played a minute 31 in the second period. Ryan Johansson took four shifts in the second period. He played 2:58. That was the most. Philip Forsberg took three shifts, 2.5 minutes, 2:37 to be exact. That was in the second period alone. Those are, you know, they are in the, it's not the big three because obviously there's a Roman Josi and there's but they're in the big group. They're in the group that, you know, big bucks, big contracts. It's a number one centerman. Two guys on the first line. Forsberg, I know, has slid back, although John Hines was obviously shifting things around. But for the game, Philip Forsberg logged 11 minutes and 12 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Duchene logged 10 minutes in 4 seconds. Those are season lows for those two players. Now, Matt Duchene earlier in the year left a game with an injury. Okay, I'm talking about a game where they played. There was no issues on why they didn't go down the tunnel. That was a season low for minutes for Forsberg and Duchene. Ryan Johansson, which I tweeted out 12:10. I'll tell you why it's different. They changed it later. They changed the minutes. They added 4 seconds to Forsberg, and they took about 45 seconds off Ryan Johansson. So Ryan Johansson logged 11:25. My initial tweet said 12:10. It was 11:25 in the game. And so here are some numbers. This is probably – and John Hines, by the way, did not get – he was asked the question.
Yeah.
You know, about that, and he has, once again, been very consistent with his message. Guys will earn their playing time. And
I love how transparent he is with that, too.
Matt Duchene has one goal in the last 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
Philip Forsberg has two goals in the last 10 games. Both of those goals were in the New Jersey game, okay, in the win over the Devils. Ryan Johansson has 5 points in the last 15 games. 2 goals, 3 assists. And, oh, by the way, I just told you those shifts and minutes in the second period. What was their best period last night?
Second
period.
Yep. And the reason I want to, as I started this conversation, because we both have the numbers, I want to ask David Poile about it, not because I'm being critical of David Poile, but he has said on our show in press conferences that there are certain players that have to play better for this team. So now that he's seen that and he's seen John Hines crack the whip, and John Hines said it in his opening press conference, there's no gray area. It's cut and dry of what I expect out of my players. I want to know how David Poile feels about this, because right now you're seeing still inconsistencies out of those guys, whereas a player like Mikhail Granlund, who struggled mightily since he got here, under Peter Laviolette, and now has been a completely different player. Players like Nick Bonino, Craig Smith continue to be names that we talk about. They're getting the ice time because they're earning it. That right there, that is what has to change. And Robbie Stanley, who was in here today, asked me last week for his podcast of what I need to see for them to be dangerous if they make the playoffs. Well, it's four guys. Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, Victor Arvidsson. They have to play like they are the guys. And they're not right now. So that's
something else to keep in mind that a lot of people aren't bringing up because they're just, and I get it. They're bringing up that's two guys that are on the first line. Really, those are three first line guys, right? I mean, Duchene's been up there. Forsberg has spent the bulk of his time here on the first line. What is also being left out of the discussion is those guys are also part of a leadership group in a room.
Exactly. That's a very good point.
That's not really being discussed either. You know, okay, I get it. Let's talk about the production or lack of, but how about also that's part of your leadership group?
Yeah. That's a very good point.
And right now you're getting production from Smith, Granlund, Bonino. Grimaldi has been consistent all year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those type of guys. And that's not a part of your big contract.
Kyle Turris has been playing better as of late since the change.
He has. So I don't know what you do.
I've seen a little more out of Colton Sissons, too, since he came back from the injury. A little bit. Mm-hmm. Still more.
He missed 12. What, he missed? How many games he missed? Wasn't 12.
Well, it was right before the Winter Classic.
Yeah, he did not play in the Winter Classic. Either way, it's taken a little bit of time for him to get back in there.
He played 17, almost 18 minutes last night.
Yeah, you can see that. He's getting more and more ice time, even though he was centering that fourth line. But as we just talked about, those guys weren't playing, and guys got more ice time.
Yep. So, look, we can beat the dead horse. I mean, these are the things we've talked about all year long. And, you know, I said what I said yesterday because I started to see signs of a team that, okay, all right, it's coming together. But I also said the inconsistencies still worry me, and they came out last night. And that's on everybody. It's not just goaltending. It's not just it's on the whole team. They have to figure this out, and you know what? There's a chance they don't, and David Poile's going to make this thing look different come trade deadline.
I said yesterday on the show, and I said yesterday on my hit every Monday at 9 o'clock on Morning Drive, if you win that game last night, you end on a really high note. That was a really tough road trip. It's a far road trip. It's a cold road trip, and it's against all playoff teams. And you know what? A win? I would say even a point, but I was thinking more two. If you want to talk about a real victory coming back, 6 of 8 points on that road swing, you feel like you can build off that. You lose, you get nothing, you come back what? 2 up, 2 down. What does that mean? That's what we've seen through 55 games this year.
Middle of the road.
2 up, 2 down, 1 up, 1 down. Win, lose. 2 wins, 2 losses. Win, lose. The point is, we're 55 games in. There's 27 to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to get you in the playoffs. 2 up and 2 down is not going to get you in the playoffs. You don't have to rip off 12 in a row, but at some point there's going to have to be a mini streak. Not 2 up and 2 down. 2 up and 2 down is going to get you where you've been since November, on the outside looking in. Period. So we'll find out again starting Thursday how this team handles this, because a message was sent crystal clear. Do I make myself clear? Crystal.
Who's Crystal? Is she nice?
Few good men, sorry.
Oh.
How these guys respond to their head coach was telling them, you're going to have to pick it up. You're going to have to be better, or this is what it's going to be. So we'll see how they respond on Thursday night. We'll come back. John Glennon from The Athletic. We'll talk a little off-season stuff with him. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. road again this year like we did last year. We did a trip to St. Louis, see the Predators take on the Blues. This year it'll be in Columbus, Ohio, see the Preds take on the Blue Jackets. That'll be at Nationwide Arena. That's their home. That'll be Saturday, March 14th. Tickets will go on sale Monday, February 17th at 10 a.m. Trip will be organized by Simply A Fan. Visit simplyafan.com for other upcoming sports adventures. Transportation provided by Gray Line of Tennessee. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com. We should be able to get John Glennon on here.
We had him. We had some phone issues and he dropped off. So,
like I said, there's 27 games left in the Predators season. 15 of those are at home. 12 of those will be on the road. And 13 of those 27 will be against division foes.
Very, very important.
This weekend, you think that's pretty big?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean,
home and home with St. Louis?
Yeah. I mean, and those are three tough games. You got the Islanders on Thursday, and then in St. Louis, and then St. Louis here back to back. That's six very important points because, you know, four of those come from division games, but you need a big win over an Islanders team at home to try and get some of this momentum back.
Let's bring in John Glennon from The Athletic. He does it all. John, what's up? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Where's that that slacker, Willie Donick, not in there just because he got back at 5 in the morning or something like that?
Who are you talking about? Okay. It's been so long. I mean, it's been so Who's long. That? We don't even know. We just put a cardboard cutout.
You're talking about the
studio,
the Vanderbilt basketball player, that guy, Wiley Dinuque.
That's right. He makes a guest appearance every now and then, right?
Yeah, I think he's probably gonna, I guess, show up tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good to hear.
You've taken rest. That trek. Vancouver is not exactly a hop, skip, and a jump.
It is not.
That's
is
a little bit of a trek. All.
Yeah, you roll in there about 4 or 5 in the morning the next day if you're leaving right after the game and you're in zombie land for about 24 hours.
Well, that's the thing though, John. Things have changed since you used to do that when you were truly on the beat and following them around. They don't do that anymore. The new thing is they stay over now. They don't come back.
Yeah.
You know, teams and I don't know what the number is, but I think basically that's what most are doing. They all stay over now, and then they fly back the next day because, like you said, if you get in whatever time, 4, 5, 6 in the morning, you're not doing anything that day anyway. You're a zombie. So they just figure, I guess they've done studies, that it's just best to go on and get a good night's sleep. You're going to take the next day off anyway and then fly back the next day.
Right. And based on last night, perhaps all the Preds need a little bit extra rest anyway after last night, right?
Mm. Gosh, they're probably going to have Vancouver power play nightmares for the rest of the season.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I can't remember seeing anything like that over the years in terms of the percentage of one team versus the Predators. That boggles the mind.
I'm with you. I don't think I've ever seen that lopsided. 10 of 13 Vancouver went against the Predators this season on the power play. 10 of 13.
Mercy.
Holy moly. Let's talk about the Titans offseason. You put out a piece on The Athletic about the free agency period, and I think everybody knows that they need to get they need a guy in here that can get after the quarterback. There's a lot of attractive names, but probably sticker shock comes with some of those names too. What's realistic with what you put out there, and maybe what's a name or two that you really like?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because, you know, how much money you have left for an edge rusher may depend on who you resign of kind of the big four of Tannehill, Henry, Conklin, and Ryan, and maybe more as well. You know, if you get only two of those guys back, maybe you have more room. Maybe you can feel better about going after the heavy hitters like a Clowney or Ngakoue or something like that. And I do think, the good news, I think, for the Titans in that respect is that it's a pretty deep field, as best I can tell, free agency-wise, in terms of edge rushers. You know, I listed five guys in my article today that are sort of maybe some of the bigger names, and I think, you know, all would certainly be welcomed by the Titans, and it would make sense. But there's also another tier or two below that, as I looked at it, and you know, guys that would still make an impact, but would not cost as much either. Again, I say it's going to depend salary-wise. Okay, if the Titans sign Conklin, Ryan, Tannehill, Henry, you're probably not going to see Jadeveon Clowney or Yannick Ngakoue or you know, even a Shaq Barrett if he hits the market. Those guys aren't going to be coming here. If you don't, if you only bring two of those guys out, maybe you use that extra money and you do go after a Clowney, who, of course, has that, you know, lengthy relationship with Mike Vrabel from their Houston days.
Do you think, okay, let's just start with those names, because those are big names and, like I said, probably big price tags.
Yeah.
Clowney's 26 years old, number one overall pick, seems to get banged up a lot, seems to always miss, you know, two, three, four games a season. But obviously is a dynamic player, can be a difference maker when healthy and in there. He's been a Pro Bowler. What is that something you would really look at, or do you think the price is not going to be worth it because of everything I just said?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot to think about on both sides. And, you know, I don't know how much you put stock into his numbers from last year, too, in Seattle. You know, the numbers were down on a different system. So, you know, do you look at what happened last year in Seattle, or do you look more at what happened with Mike Vrabel when the two were in Houston together, and, you know, he went to three straight Pro Bowls there. So, if you're talking about $20 million a year, you know, that's a lot of money. There's other guys, you know, a couple other guys I listed, like a Bud Dupree, for instance, from Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. had a really good year last year, you know, a former Kentucky player. Granted, his contract year was much better than his previous seasons. But, you know, that price tag drops, you know, fairly dramatically from 20 to maybe, you know, 12, 13, 14 at that point. And maybe you're getting a younger guy who, you know, maybe has more of a upside as well. And as I say, I only listed five here today, but I do think there's another tier, too, of less expensive guys that could make a difference, and I'm sure we're going to get more into those as we get closer to free agency.
Shaq Barrett, I think the biggest concern I would have, and probably most, is just can he do that again? I mean, did he have an unbelievable year last year? Yes. But is that what he really is, or is that more of the anomaly, you know, looking for a big payday? What? How do you tackle Shaq Barrett?
Yeah, it's another interesting situation there because, you know, on the one hand, you know, Barrett didn't really get a ton of playing time or opportunity in Denver, you know, when he was there for, I think, 4 years. You know, he's playing behind guys like Von Miller and you know, some of the other really good Denver rushers. But Tampa Bay took a chance on him and said, hey, we like what we've seen on him in fairly limited, opportunity. We think he can do better. And they were certainly rewarded for taking the chance. You know, 19 and a half sacks, led the league, 37 quarterback hits were more than he had in his previous 4 years combined. It's a tricky situation. I think not only for Shaq Barrett, but one of the other guys I mentioned too, a guy like a Bud Dupree, seems like all of a sudden a lot of these guys that go into contract years.
Yeah, it's amazing how good they get. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Amazing how well they play up to their potential, and you just wonder, okay, is it the same guy that we're going to get if we sign him to a four-year deal and you know make him feel very comfortable and secure? Are we going to get the same kind of numbers?
Ngakoue is obviously a very intriguing guy at 24. Is that realistic? Is Jacksonville really going to let him walk? I mean, how do you see that playing out?
I am sure that Jacksonville is going to do everything they can to keep him around, despite the fact they do have still a lot of good defensive linemen down there. I think he fits certainly that pass rushing niche. That's his forte. You look last year, you know, 8 sacks and 13 tackles for loss, 4 forced fumbles and 6 passes defense. You know, he's definitely a disruptor. If there's a knock on him, maybe as opposed to Clowney, who's always been considered, you know, very good against the run and the pass, Ngakoue not necessarily as good against the run, but, you know, as I sort of wrote in today's article, you know, are you really too concerned about how Yannick Ngakoue plays against the run when you're signing him and bringing him in, you know, almost certainly to rush the passer in the majority of his snaps. And we know that he can get after the passer. He is not one of those guys that we talked about that has just been a one-year wonder. He's been doing it for 2 or 3 years now. So, you know, I think he would be a tempting option. But, again, you're looking at maybe $17 million a year is one of the estimates, you know, probably for 4 or 5 years. And it, again, it's going to come down to how much money do you have after you finish re-signing your own players.
Talking to John Glennon of The Athletic here with us on Darren Donick and Chase. And I saw the news this morning that Ryan Tannehill has actually switched agents. He was with Pat Dye Jr. and now he goes to CAA. Obviously, CAA also represents Derrick Henry. Do you think that that really has any bearing on anything, or is it just kind of a coincidence?
It was unexpected, certainly. You know, I don't think that was anticipated by anyone. You know, I could see it in a couple of ways, this decision. You know, one, I know that Pat Dye and John Robinson shared a very good working relationship, you know, and worked together a number of times over the years. And I think, you know, Pat Dye was very confident that they were going to be able to work out some type of agreement, you know, whether that was multi-year or you know, whether it was just going to be a franchise tag. I think Pat was, as I say, very, very confident. And does John Robinson share that same type of relationship with Todd France and Brian Arrow? I'm not sure if that's the case. We'll have to see going forward. And does that also mean that Ryan Tannehill's maybe now changed what he's looking for in terms of his demands from the Titans? Again, we'll have to see as time goes on. The other side of the coin I see too, though, is, you know, if maybe this makes matters easier for the Titans in one way, and that way is this: if your full plan is to bring back both Henry and Tannehill, to get them both signed to long-term deals, does that make it easier to just work with one agency, to work with one contact? You're not having one agent saying, hey, what is, you know, I'm Ryan Tannehill's guy, what is Derrick Henry getting? Or I'm Derrick Henry's guy, hey, what is Ryan Tannehill getting? And then trying to battle it out that way, that one agency is fully aware of what's going on. And maybe if the end game is to get both of those guys back together, maybe that helps in negotiations.
Yeah, that was kind of one thing that I was getting at. That, and I know that CAA is a big company and they have different representatives, you know, for different players, but they all kind of think the same way. So that's one direction that I thought it could go, to see if, you know, that they can work this out and know that they're going to be a package deal one way or another.
Yeah, that's the positive side of looking at it. I think for the Titans, I would doubt that Pat Dye is looking at it as a positive thing today if he's no longer, you know, with his client Ryan Tannehill. But yeah, if there's an understanding that, hey, we you know, first and foremost, we want to bring both of these guys back. We want to commit to both of them. Maybe that makes it easier. You know, all sides know what the entire puzzle is. There's no mystery as to what other players are getting in that situation. So we'll see if that helps.
John, one thing that we've talked about on the show, and I think we've even talked about it with you a couple of times, is some of the veteran players like a Delanie Walker, like a Cameron Wake, that are on this team, they're under contract, and, you know, you might have to walk away to save some money. How much do you think that's being weighed right now, and how much do you think that John Robinson has to wait and see, you know, what's going to happen with Tannehill and Henry before he makes those decisions of whether to walk away from some of these contracts?
Probably so. You know, maybe if the Titans are fortunate, you know, maybe John Robinson can work things out with Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry towards the earlier side before we get to free agency, and maybe that presents a little bit more of a clear picture as to how much money he needs for maybe a Conklin or a Ryan, or to get into the free agent market with an edge rusher or a different position. But yeah, those the guys that you mentioned there, Cameron Wake and Delanie Walker, and You know, certainly I think Deion Lewis will be a guy that they have to decide upon as well. And, you know, maybe Ryan Succop as well. That's four guys right there that you could clear out a pretty fair amount of space. And, you know, you could make a case for certainly for all those guys bringing them back, but maybe not at the price that that is out there right now. So maybe you have to renegotiate a deal. If you're confident that, like, a Delanie Walker can come back fully healthy and still play, maybe you try and renegotiate that deal a little bit based on the fact that Delanie hasn't played very much at all the last couple of years. You know, but if you think that the injuries are more, you know, a permanent thing for Delanie Walker now, then maybe it's time to move on and you know, allocate that cap money elsewhere.
John, good stuff. It's going to be an interesting offseason here and around the league for sure.
Absolutely.
And, you know, things are really going to get wild and crazy right after the combine in Indy. So thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, John Glennon, you can find his work at The Athletic. Does a good job of covering the Titans and a lot of things.
Yeah, real quick, Teron Davenport, all over the agent stuff. He's been texting me throughout this, and he said that Jimmy Sexton, as we know, is Derrick Henry, but Todd France, who is going to be with Tannehill and also helps with Derrick Henry, is also Dak Prescott's agent. So that's something that's kind of interesting when you look at quarterbacks and how much they're going to make.
Interesting. We'll talk about that on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You do wonder what the agent shift will do. So get everybody caught up to speed on what you said Teron is putting out there.
So Teron, in this, the Ryan Tannehill part is out there. Teron texted me and alerted me to it, so appreciate Teron Davenport, who's always listening, by the way, talking with TD. Check that out. But he told me that CAA has signed Ryan Tannehill as a client. CAA has, I mean, they have everyone. And Jimmy Sexton, you hear his name a lot. He is a part of that. Jimmy Sexton represents Nick Saban, several coaches, represents Derrick Henry as a part of this company, CAA. Well, Tannehill has signed. He has dropped Pat Dye, who used to be his agent, and now Brian Arot and Todd France of CAA will represent Ryan Tannehill. Well, what's interesting about this, according to Teron, is Todd France is also part of the representation for Dak Prescott. So why do I bring that up? Well, Dak Prescott is obviously looking for a new contract. He is slated to be a free agent. Dallas is going to sign him, or they're going to franchise tag him. I mean, he's going to be with the Dallas Cowboys. But you have to get a contract done long-term eventually for him. Now, Ryan Tannehill is not going to make Dak Prescott-type money, but I think we'd all agree that whatever Dak makes kind of sets the market in motion for the different tiers of quarterbacks. And so the fact that Tannehill has the same agent as Prescott, I think, is interesting, because obviously Todd France is going to know what the market is going to look like, or what he's trying to set the market at in regards to a couple of his clients. So I find that stuff fascinating. I don't know what you think. But
well, I don't. I'm very curious on how Dallas is going to handle this. Because I think in a perfect world, they'd like to tag him.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they can get away with that.
See, that's the thing with the franchise tag. When the franchise tag first started, it was just like you do it and the player signs it, everything's good. Well, then you had a couple of players that are like, no, I'm willing to hold out. I'm willing to just, you can slap me with the franchise tag, but that doesn't mean I have to sign it.
Yep. You said players, though. We're talking about quarterbacks. Give me an example of a quarterback that says, I'm not signing a franchise tag.
Yeah. I mean, it's more for a running back. I don't know.
I want to hear. I don't know. I cannot think of one. How many times have you seen quarterback holdouts or quarterbacks say, I'm not signing it? It's one thing for a running back or another position, but how many quarterback examples do we have? Can anybody think of one?
Didn't Kirk Cousins even take two franchise tags?
Well, yeah. Kirk Cousins had two in a row, but he signed them.
But he signed them.
Exactly, yeah.
He did it 2 years in a row. He wasn't happy. He did, but he did it.
And so
he made a lot of money, by the way, in those 2 years.
Last year, the tag value for a quarterback was around $25.1
million. I think it's now, what, 27?
Probably.
Somewhere around 27.
For a running back, it was 11.3. See, that's where, like, if the Titans franchise tag Ryan Tannehill and it's 27.
That's what I would have done.
I think he signed it.
That's what I would do.
And there's a chance they do it.
I said that, what, a week ago. I said I would franchise tag
Tannehill. And to your credit, because you brought this up, and I initially said Henry, but I didn't think he'd sign it, but then you made the case of $27 million, which is right in the ballpark of where people think Tannehill's going to be anyway. I agree with you. It makes sense.
I need to see it again. I need to see it again.
And that's fair.
It's not going to look the same, but I need to see it again. I need to see the follow-up. I'm just not comfortable. We got into all this. I'll just say right now, I got really uncomfortable with a lot of our discussions of, you know, Tannehill is going to get $50, $60 million guaranteed. It's not my money. I get it. I don't know why I'm uncomfortable. I don't have anything at stake to lose, but I just don't think that's the route to go. I don't know. Yes, he should be rewarded for his play when he took over. He was a big, big part of what happened to the turnaround. Does that mean just forget everything in the past? It's like, okay, full speed ahead, and we'll just pretend like nothing else happened before he got here? And maybe that is true. Maybe that was a Miami problem, and that's fair. I'm sure that's what his side will say. This is more of who he is. And that's great. That's great for the Titans if this is what he is moving forward. I think I just need to see it. A full season. Remember, this was half of a season.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a full season of it. Let me see it for a full season. That's what I would be comfortable doing. That's me. But I'm just trying to think of, you know, for everybody like Dak Prescott, oh, he wants a Ryan Tannehill. What quarterback examples do we have? I'm going through in my head.
Yeah, because
like, what quarterback said, I don't have an example. The best thing I can think of just now, I'm trying to remember exactly how it played out, and I think it was last offseason, or was it two offseasons ago? Russell Wilson gave Seattle like a drop-dead date. It was like April 15th. It was like, file your taxes and sign me and give me a new deal. And I was like, remember on the show, I was, why April? April, what do you need to have everything done by April? What for? I mean, you're not doing anything in April. If this was July, okay. But I don't remember exactly how it played out, but I remember Russell Wilson said, I better have a new deal by some date in April. And sure enough, Seattle caved, which, you know, they had to. They had no choice.
Yeah.
But it franchise.
Works. Right.
It worked.
Yeah.
But I don't think I remember him going, if you try to tag me, I'm not signing.
Right.
I think it was just, I want a new deal by April something, or I'm not coming around.
Right. And look, we all know that quarterbacks are going to, I mean, they're going to get a big payday to get the franchise guy. I mean, that's just how it is. I got the projected franchise numbers that have been out there, 26.895. We call it 27 million because it's basically what it is for a quarterback. For a running back, it's 12.474. Do you think Derrick Henry would take that? I don't. If he says that Zeke is the floor, now the floor, the guaranteed.
He didn't really say that. Let's also say he did not really. Let's go back and go through the Rich Eisen. Put the words in his mouth.
But he agreed.
Rich Eisen said it. What do you want him to say?
Well, I know.
You know, Rich, that's a little too much for me. I'm thinking a little bit below that. Rich Eisen initiated everything.
And that's not even the number that anyone cares about.
It's not like Derrick Henry said, look, Rich, here's the deal, man. This is where I am with all this.
Yeah.
This better be Ezekiel Elliott stuff or we got nothing to talk about.
Yeah, but I mean, Rich baited him and he took it. So, you know, that's Rich Eisen being a veteran, you know, interviewer, but the only number that Derrick Henry really cares about is that guaranteed money. That's it. And so you look at Zeke's contract and the guaranteed money. If the guaranteed money for Derrick Henry is higher than that, then I think that's really all he cares about. It's not about what he makes per year. It's what he's going to make over the life of the contract. And if it's a 4 or 5 year deal, but he's guaranteed an X amount that he's happy with, then it doesn't matter when they walk away from it.
We'll come back and wrap up the first hour on the other side. Adam Vingan will join us at 11 o'clock. We'll talk more about the Predators to kick off the second hour of the program. But right now I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems. It's a foundation repair and waterproofing company. With all this rain, whew, some of you may perk up when you hear that because maybe something's going on at your house right now with all the standing water. They have served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994, and they've got over 18,000 satisfied residential customers. So if you're a homeowner, listen up. Maybe you've got Boeing basement walls. You've got standing water in a crawl space, musty odors or rot in floor joist, condensation on ductwork, cracks in basement floors. Your house may be trying to tell you something. Maybe you're asking yourself, why are there wet spots in certain areas of my home? Well, maybe you have poor drainage. Maybe you've got surface water floods over walls or underground pressure forces, which forces water into your basement if you have a basement in your home. Or maybe you have water seeping through walls. Look, I can go on. There's a huge list of all signs that maybe something bad is happening in your house. Well, this is where the experts come in, and they are the experts. The experts with a reputation, integrity, and they believe in their quality of work. And they're going to come out there and give you a free estimate. They're locally owned, licensed, and insured. So if something like this is going on at your house, get the experts out there and let them tell you, don't worry about it, or tell you, hey, this needs to be addressed. The number, 615-227-2275, 227-2275, or you always can go check out their website, USSTN.com. They guarantee their best. Call USS. DJ Elijah behind the glass, spinning the tunes. After this show, he'll head back to his haunted house. Maybe Halloween we should do stuff at Elijah's house.
I'm cool with a periscope.
Well, you did say yesterday you were going to do that.
Oh, yeah. I'm committed to it. It's like Ghost Hunters, but a little more real.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe we'll send your footage in.
Maybe they'll recruit me.
You'll end up on the TV Travel money. Channel.
Might get that TV money.
Maybe a little bit of bump in pay. Maybe.
Slightly.
Good stuff.
There's a lot of Titans players right now looking for a bump in pay.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of Titans players that are probably going to get that, whether it's with the Titans or somewhere else. Because as we've said, you can't sign everybody. I want to ask you this, because I feel like Teron and I are doing Chasing TD via text message because he's listening to our conversation right now. And he raises a good point. If, let's say, we go with your scenario and the Titans franchise tag him, Ryan Tannehill, so he signs and it's $26, $27 million, whatever the final number ends up being, for 1 year. Well, what if he goes and he has another great year and he balls out? Okay?
It's a great problem to have.
It's a great problem to have. But then you find yourself, whereas you could sign him now for 3 years at $50 or $60 million or whatever the value is, you get him at $26 to $28 per year. For 3 years, you do that now, but if he goes and he balls out, then all of a sudden that price goes up, and then you have to compare it to deals for, as Teron said, Mahomes and Dak Prescott.
We banged on Washington, probably just because of the Redskins, and they're really inept with a lot of things. So most of the time they deserve everything that they get. But looking back now, I don't know, was it so horrible? So great. Ryan Tannehill comes out and is spectacular again. Well, that's good news. It's good news for the Titans. We've talked about this on the show. It's well documented, my belief. I've said this team can absolutely not take a step back. They have real momentum for the first time in this community. People are back on board. There's been a huge erosion over the years, and people are back. That run got people going. The Predators were able to capitalize by following up with another big year after the magical run. So everything grew. They have to be good. They cannot have a 7-9 season. It's going
completely
to kill
agree.
Everything. So this year is critical. So great. Ryan Tannehill goes out and has another spectacular season. Who says you can't tag him again? I mean, honestly, if we're just being real honest here, how many great seasons do you think Tannehill has? I mean, honestly. What, you think the next three?
I'd say two is realistic.
Two is realistic in my I agree with you. Realistic.
Three's gravy.
I don't believe I don't think there's no way you could convince me that Ryan Tannehill is going to be the way he was for half the season this year for the next 3 years. If he is,
and by the way, key,
good for him.
Keyword there, half. I know we know the reason why he played half the season, but that's something to keep in mind too. He didn't do it for a full season.
I know, that's what I said earlier. I want to see it for a full season.
Yeah,
give me him the starter from day one.
Look, it's all. And I'm not saying I disagree with you.
Let me see it for 16 games. I'm just saying, why do we feel like, so you give him 50, 60 million guaranteed? Well, guess what? That's what 2 years with the tag's going to be anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
And if the price goes up, the price goes up.
The point is, you're going to have to draft for the future, you know, here in the next, this offseason, next offseason. You're going to have to draft the next guy. Ryan Tannehill's not your guy for the next 5 years. We can all agree on that, right? I mean, come on. If we're being realistic, he's not going to be the guy for the next 5 years.
Right.
If so, man, really good things are happening. And you know what? That's a good problem to have.
Yeah. No.
So what?
And that,
so you got to pay him. Great.
That is spot on.
But you have a franchise quarterback.
And you're winning. Competing for divisions, competing for Super Bowls, doing things this team hasn't done in a long time.
Yeah. I just, for me, if I'm the general manager, I need to see it. I need to see it another year. Give me a full season of it. It's not that I don't trust you. It's not like we're not completely on board. We're thankful. We're glad you're here. Now give me 16 games of it. I want to see it next year when everybody's game planning you from out of the gates. Game one. Everybody is game planning for you. That's all. And if he follows it up and does it again, congrats. We're going to reward you again. However they decide to do that, whether it's a contract or whether it's slapping a tag on him again. That's me. John Robinson may have a completely different approach, but I need to see more. I'm just not ready to say thanks for an incredible half season, which it was incredible, and the run to the AFC Championship game, here's $60 million. I'm just not ready to do that if I'm GM.
Well, number one, you're not the GM. So that's probably
a good thing for everybody.
Yeah. But at the same time, it may work out where you can get away with the franchise tag and you're good and he can do it again, but it may work out where he's going to negotiate and get the best he can. We'll find out.
I also believe this GM, this radio GM, told everybody in this market, and I was the only person saying that you should pay Matt Duchene what number? $7.75 million. And I was laughed at. Laughed at. He could get $10 million
right.
a year.
You were.
How would you like Matt Duchene for $10 million a year right now? What do you think, whether this market or any market would be saying?
$10
million a year. Yeah. I said 7.75.
That's a good segue,
by the way. Yeah. Adam Vingan from The Athletic to kick off the second hour. That's next.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.